question was asked, how does one do mitzvot with excitement, with a real love, and not just because they have to? So the answer breaks down to many components, and maybe we'll go in order. The first thing we have to know is that not all mitzvot are created equal, and not all people are created equal. There are people who like being butchers, and then there are people who don't like seeing blood. There are people who are interested in being a surgeon, and then there are people who, at the sight of blood, they faint. There are different people. There are people who can be veterinarians and take care of animals, and then there are people who see an animal, they run the other way. Right? So Hashem created us different. We have different things that speak to us. We have different things that attract us. We have different things that excite us. It is natural that also in the realm of mitzvot, different people will have different mitzvot that they connect to more. And that's a healthy part of being human and being Jewish. We also have different talents. The verse says, "Kabeid et Hashem mehonecha." Honor Hashem from your personal wealth. And our sages said, every person has their own personal wealth. You have one guy who's a carpenter, so he could use his skills to build a nice shul. You have another guy who, he's a fundraiser. He can sell snow to the Eskimo. So he should be a fundraiser so that he could help institutions thrive. He could help build hospitals. We have different strengths. And it's natural that we will have different mitzvot in which we excel or we connect to or we're excited over. So the first step is, yeah, recognize that. That's going to be the case. The fact that we adhere to 613 doesn't mean we will connect to all 613 on the same level, and that's okay. That's okay. That's why there are people who are chazanim. They love to sing and develop and make sure they know all the tunes exactly right. There are people who are gabayim. I don't want to say what they like to do. And you have different people. You have different people in Am Yisrael. We need that. We need all those colors. Together you form a beautiful picture of the Jewish people. However, we also have to recognize that there are mitzvot that we're all responsible for, and it would be better if we were positive about those mitzvot. So what happens if a person doesn't feel like he connects to eating kosher? Yeah, I'm supposed to eat kosher, but I like eating a cheeseburger. I'm supposed to eat kosher, but I really like that Snickers Mars bar that doesn't have a hechsher. There are things that I'd like to eat, even though I'm supposed to keep kosher. A person wants to keep Shabbat, but some of you Australians have an issue with your beach, right? What day is Shabbat outside in the ocean if you would like to go surfing, right? International Dateline, I'm sure you all know there's discussion about when you guys are allowed to go surfing. So we definitely also have mitzvot that we're responsible for that we feel less connected to. And here, there's a distinction depending on where a person is holding in their observance level. A person should strive to be at a point where they adhere to all 613 mitzvot, whether they feel connected at this moment or not. However, not everyone is holding there. When a person is developing and growing in their observance level, so then we tell a person, wait a second, where are you holding? Go to a rabbi who knows you and work with him. And work in order. Don't begin with the mitzvot that are most difficult for you. On the contrary, when a person is in a growth process, when a person says, I'm not at a point where I'm keeping all 613. However, I am keeping X number of mitzvot. So then the question is, how do you approach a reality where you're not keeping everything? And I'll tell you a story. A girl once asked for a meeting. She insisted that she keeps all 612 mitzvot. Only one that she's not so serious about. Which one? She's dating an Arab. So she was very insistent that she keeps everything else except for her Arab boyfriend. And she wasn't sure if she was going to marry him. And this is how we came to the meeting. You guys are laughing. It's not a joke. This is a real story. So we sat at the meeting, and she was literally crying. She said, I don't know why my parents are so upset at me. I don't know what they want from my life. So she said, I eat kosher, I keep Shabbat. She's gone down the list. So I'm dating an Arab. Now, I couldn't exactly explain to her that setting. You know, if you marry an Arab, you won't keep kosher, you won't keep Shabbos, you're risking everything, right? Whether you marry Jewish or not, in the end, there's a question of everything for you and your kids and all future generations. That wasn't the point. So we spoke, and I said to her, you know, it's very good that you keep all the other mitzvot. And I think that we all have mitzvot that we're weak on. Now, if you'd asked me one mitzvah you should be strong on, date a Jewish girl, right? That's your future. That's everything is in that. But she wasn't asking that question. She was entering the conversation out of a basis that this is her boyfriend right now. So I said to her, you know, I think that it's very important to recognize all your strengths. It's very important to recognize that you do keep kosher, you do keep Shabbat, you keep everything else. Right now you have a challenge with one mitzvah, you'll work on it, you'll overcome it. But now, what's going on inside of me as I'm talking to her? What's going on when I'm talking to her? Inside of me I'm thinking she's risking everything by dating this guy. But when I tell her, I'm telling her the truth. I'm telling her, good for you that you're keeping the other stuff, don't give up on the other stuff. People might tell you all kinds of things, but you stick to your guns. You hold that you keep all mitzvot but one. So keep all mitzvot but one. Hold on to everything else. Today she's happily married to a guy that learns in yeshiva. He works half a day and learns half a day. And they have children and they have a fully observant home. And a lot of it was that she was able to retain her self-image. She kept holding on to, I am an observant Jew. I'm not yet keeping everything, but I'm an observant Jew. So that's where a person has to sometimes be able to say, I have the mitzvot that I'm adhering to. Good for me. I have other mitzvot I'm not yet holding there. I'll work on it. I have to get there. But what type of person am I? I'm a person that keeps mitzvot. I'm working on it. I'm not keeping everything yet. I'm going to work on it. Then when a person's working on it, a person is sometimes challenged. A person might say, if I were really sincere about keeping mitzvot, I'd keep Shabbat. I wouldn't turn on a light on Shabbat. And if they would talk to me, I'd say, don't stop turning on lights on Shabbat. So you'll ask me, wait, am I allowed to turn on lights on Shabbat? The answer is no. But if you're going to start keeping Shabbat with the hardest things, then you might never keep Shabbat. Growth is gradual. So there's a difference between a person who's asking the question from a point of, I keep 613 mitzvot, but there are some I'm not so excited about. So then we're going to address that in a minute. Or a person who's saying, I'm a work in progress, I'm not yet keeping 613. So then we say, okay, so recognize there are those that you keep, good for you. Now work with the rabbi who knows you, work with the rabbi who will help you, and work in order of things that you can do. I'll give you an example. The laws of family purity are the last laws we teach a person in their process of growth and keeping Torah and mitzvot. You don't start with the hardest things. You start and you say, okay, let's look at what you can do. Let's look at what works within your system. Don't eat meat and milk together. If you're holding at a place where you wait 6 hours between meat and milk, good for you. But if you're at a place where you're used to eating kosher, but you don't wait, so fine. Don't wait between meat and milk. You'll grow, you'll wait 1 hour. At first, you just don't eat them at the same meal. Ideally you should wait more than that. Fine. But no one can accomplish everything overnight. And the idea that I don't connect to a certain mitzvah, yeah, that's the reality. We all have mitzvot we don't connect to. And I'll tell you the truth. Even after you keep all 613, there are mitzvot that you don't connect to. There are mitzvot that you work over life to connect to. And as we grow and we appreciate Torah, and this is a growth process, I hope you will all continue thinking. I hope you will not outgrow the stage where you ask questions. What unfortunately happens to many people is that life becomes so busy that they stop asking questions, they stop analyzing whether they believe or don't believe. Whatever they do, they enter that comfort mode and they don't even stop to think. But reality is that one should spend their life questioning, analyzing, and growing. And you know what? Growth doesn't do this. You know what growth looks like? Growth looks like this. Up and down and up and down. If you're really growing, you're going to have downs. You're going to have ups and downs. And if your life is placid and there's no ups or downs, that's not good either. If you want to grow, you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have questions. You're going to have times that you understand more and times that you suddenly question everything. You're going to have times that things seem right. This makes a lot of sense. And then times where you ask yourself, Where is Hashem over here? This is, I don't understand the world I'm seeing. Both are going to happen to you in life. And hopefully you develop so you have answers. But the idea, I don't get so excited over every mitzvah. So if we're at a stage where we're still growing, we're at a stage where we're not yet keeping 613, then we don't have to challenge ourselves right away with those mitzvot we don't connect to. Let's grow in the area that we connect and evolve and hopefully work with a Rebbe who can work with us. What happens where I'm at a point where I keep mitzvot, okay, but I don't connect to Shabbat? My Shabbat is like, okay, I don't turn on the lights, I go to shul, I'm not connecting, I'm not inspired. So here, there are a few components that help. Number one, make it pleasurable. What are you doing on your Shabbat? Do you go to a shul that you enjoy? Do you go with friends that you enjoy? Do you have a Shabbat meal that you enjoy? Is your Shabbat the way Shabbat is for many children, where you're just waiting for Shabbat to get out so you can play with all those toys you're not supposed to play on Shabbat? You could turn on the TV and who knows what else. So then, yeah, Shabbat's not going to be a lot of fun. But if your Shabbat is filled with things that are enjoyable, and you put yourself in a location. There was a guy who called me up. He said he wants to move to a neighborhood where no one was observant. So I said, what's your Shabbat going to look like? He said, what do you mean? I said, if you walk in the street and everyone around you is desecrating Shabbos, they're smoking, they're on their cell phones, how long are you going to last in such an environment? If you're in an environment where Shabbos is a beautiful day, a day of family, a day where people get together, a day where people have communal events that make Shabbat inspiring, so then, of course, Shabbat is pleasurable. If you're in an environment where your Shabbat is, you're the odd man out, everyone around you is with their cell phones on Shabbos, so how long are you going to last in that environment? So, coming back to, how can I make a mitzvah pleasurable? Well, think about the components of what your mitzvah looks like. Have you bought good food for Shabbos? Have you made your Shabbos pleasurable? Have you planned your Shabbos so that it's enjoyable? Are you in an environment with friends where Shabbat can be meaningful? Many of our mitzvot, it's up to us whether we'll make them meaningful or not. And I'll give you one more example. Shul. Some people say, I don't connect to shul. Okay, what have you done about that? Have you taken the time to find the shul where you enjoy? Have you taken the time to take a prayer book that you enjoy? Some people like shul very hot, no air conditioning. Some people like shul very cold. So find a shul you're comfortable in. If you're standing there sweltering in shul, some people like a quick davening. Some people like a lot of singing. Find the shul that speaks to you. If you go to the shul where the guy thinks he's doing an opera, I was once in a shul where Mat Tovu took him 45 minutes. The guy was singing Mat Tovu, you know, Mat Tovu, intro to prayer. People were going out and getting a cup of coffee, coming back in there. And I was thinking, like, who has time for this? 45 minutes for Mat Tovu? Vahi bin Saron took him another 45 minutes. The Shabbat morning prayer was a 6.5-7 hour event. Okay, yeah, everyone showed up left early. It was all a concert. It wasn't davening. But I guess some people like that. The guy who invited me, it was his son's bar mitzvah. So I showed up, I saw what was going on. I went to a shul next door, did all of davening, came back for his son's laning, and left, and came back 3 hours later for the kiddush and said mazel tov, right? I wasn't going to sit there for 6-7 hours. Some people, that's what talks to them. That's their Shabbos. I know people who rent the hotel room next to that shul so they can enjoy that. Fine, to each his own. Part of making a mitzvah pleasurable is in how we do the mitzvah, how we play it out. And finally, there's also a fake it till you make it component. I'm going to tell you something very harsh right now, which you might not like, but remember it when you have children, okay? You will discover, again, you might never have heard this before, and it might really rub you the wrong way, so just consider it as a possibility that maybe I know what I'm talking about. Maybe. Okay? You don't have to buy into what I'm saying. But it could be that one day you will have children and you will notice that one or two of them get on your nerves and you don't jive with them. And you will feel like their personality runs contrary to your own. So maybe you can't imagine that, but it happens. And I'll tell you what, it happens to many people. Many people. You have calm people who have hyper children. You have hyper people who have calm children. You have people who their children's temperament and nature is really aggravating to them. Their nature. It's the kid's nature. It's not like something that he can change. It's not his fault. Your education isn't going to change anything. And it could be that when you come home, your natural inclination is to go, "Hi, Bob," and move over to Chaim and ignore him, right? Because he's a nuisance. I don't know if any of you have had a clingy child, but sometimes it's the clingy kid, right? The 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old who doesn't leave you alone. And you want to move on and you want to get some work done and they're non-stop clingy. Sometimes it's the whining child. Sometimes it's the child that's always complaining or always yelling or is always going to argue until they're right. There are different stages in life where certain kids really rub you the wrong way. What do you do then? You're asking, how do I deal with the mitzvah I don't connect to? I'm asking, how do you deal with a child you don't connect to? You know what the answer is? You fake it. You fake it and fake it and fake it, and when you treat him as though you love him, then eventually you'll see that you do. When you smile to him and hug him and kiss him and you tell him how much you love him and you hug him and kiss him and again, eventually you'll feel that way. And by the way, it happens in marriage too, believe it or not. People wake up one morning and realize that they're not so excited over the person they married. I know no one thinks this is going to happen to them, but it happens to many. I don't want to say most, you won't believe me. But many people wake up one morning and realize they're not so excited over the person they married. So what do you do then? So 21st century, you get divorced. Come on, get another one, right? No. In real life, it's not a good idea. In real life, you work on it. What does work on it mean? Fake it. Act as though you love someone and you will. It doesn't sound believable. It works. I've accompanied couples through this many, many times. And it works. It works with our children. It works with our spouses. It works with mitzvot. You behave excited over something, you'll get excited over something. And I'll give you an example. Imagine the following scene. It's 5:30 in the morning and your alarm clock rang. And we all know what happens at 5:30 in the morning when your alarm clock rings. You look at it and you say, "Mister, you're bugging me. Stop." Right? Not interested right now. Now you have two choices. You can remember that you have an important meeting and pull yourself out of bed and schlep along and spend the next hour feeling very sad for yourself that you poor thing had to get up at 5:30 in the morning and everything's a drag until you finally succeed in forgetting that you got up at 5:30 in the morning. Or you can focus yourself for a minute and decide, now I'm going to do it, and jump out of bed and start acting as though you're actually excited about getting out of bed at 5:30 in the morning. And you know what? Then you will in no time be that person. You will find yourself suddenly getting up and functioning and accomplishing things much more quickly. So very often our external action will define our internal feeling. We in the 21st century have a very huge misconception. We think everything outside affects us. We fall into love and fall out of love. Things are supposed to affect us and excite us, and it's not true. Much of life is our decision whether we will get excited over something and then we become excited over things. Much of life is a decision, and then when we act that way, we ultimately become that way. So that's a long answer to many different components of the question. What happens when I'm not excited over a mitzvah? Sometimes it's not yet time to perform that mitzvah if you're in an evolvement process. Sometimes you perform and you decide to get excited over it. And sometimes you have to beautify the mitzvah, think of how to make it that the mitzvah is more pleasurable. Tov.